Can't believe it's a year already, and boy, it's gone fast. And I'm even praying harder for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Amen. If you would turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now, just to let you know, I do know the background of this passage of Scripture that we'll be reading. But there's some important things I'd like you to notice here tonight. And I know that David numbered the people. And as a result of his numbering the people, God punished him. And there's various reasons, pride. And one of the reasons was he failed to make a ransom for the people. When you numbered them, you were supposed to make a ransom according to Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. But there's some things I was reading through this passage of Scripture that I felt to be a real help to you. Because God gives David some choices. As a matter of fact, God gives David three specific choices to choose from. And I've learned in life that we all have choices to make. And some choices are very difficult to make, and some are very easy to make. Now tonight, let's suppose you were in the same situation as David. Let's suppose that you were given an option tonight as well. What affliction you were going to bear. That wouldn't be so easy. And let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. We'll begin in verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Now, I want to preach to you with that thought in mind tonight, and I want to preach to you a message titled, Go Ahead and Choose. Go Ahead and Choose. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your words, God. I thank you that it's preserved, infallible, and errant, Lord, inspired in the King James Bible. And Lord, I do thank you for this church. And God, we've been praying for these people for many years. And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm here again another year, that I survived by your grace. And Lord, I pray that tonight that this message will be a real help, a real encouragement. God, I have no idea of the afflictions and hard decisions and things that have come up in people's lives in this church. To be honest, Lord, I don't really know many people in this church, but I do pray for them as a whole. But I pray that tonight, I was praying about what to preach, and I felt that you'd help me to be a help to this church tonight, and an encouragement. And Lord, I pray this message would bring forth fruit for your glory and honor. Please wash me with your precious blood. Forgive me of all my sins, God. And I pray that nothing's between me and you, and nothing would hinder you, Lord, from speaking through me. And I pray that you fill me with the Spirit of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to preach to you a message tonight. Go ahead and choose. Number one, if the choice was yours to make, it'd be difficult. Now, David, as I said, was given three choices. The first choice was a famine. And this choice that he would make would not only affect him, but everyone else around him. The second choice he was given was to run from his enemies for 3 months. And David had already known what it was like to run from an enemy, like King Saul, for many, many months. The third choice was a pestilence, and this would be like a plague that would sweep through the land and affect everyone. Now, these choices that were offered to David, to be honest with you, were very serious. And to be honest, none of the choices that God offered him sounded good at all. As a matter of fact, I would have to say A, B, C, or D. I would pick D, none of the above. And you know what? Tonight, the affliction that David was suffering from, yes, was from his own sin. But I've also learned this in the Christian life, and I've lived long enough to know this. Not all afflictions that come in your life are as a result of some sin in your life. Now, let's take into consideration tonight. Let's say that the affliction that you're suffering tonight is not a result of some sin in your life. And you may wonder tonight, why this affliction this year has come up. And you may feel that this year, this cross that God has given you, or this affliction, or this heartache in your life that's come up is just too much for you to bear. Now, let's say you were given three choices. And let's say that ahead of time, it wasn't that something that's dropped in your lap. It was something that God said, here they are, A, B, and C. Which one would you choose? Which affliction tonight would you choose for your life? I mean, what affliction do you think tonight that you would joyfully embrace, endure, and joyfully enlist or endure? I mean, I think if the choice was left up to me tonight, or what choice I should make, I think I should make, I would make a foolish decision. And do you know why? Because I have made foolish decisions in life. Let me ask you now, have you ever made a foolish decision in life? Have you ever made a decision that you were so sure of and so convinced of that it was the right thing to do, and then you have later on regretted it in life? Now, what affliction do you think that you would choose tonight for your own life that would be better than God's choice? Now, when it's put that way, it's not so easy to make, is it? To think that God could choose better. As a matter of fact, God can choose better. And God really does know what's better for us than we know for ourselves. Now, let's say tonight you were given an option to be sick. Let's just say it happened. Would you choose cancer and chemotherapy? Would you choose the loss of vision? How many of you ever heard of Fanny Crosby? I'm sure most of you have, right? You've been blessed by her songs, have you not? Well, Fanny Crosby, at 6 weeks old, caught a cold, they say. This is what they say the reason why she went blind. She developed an inflammation in her eyes. And mustard poultices were applied to treat the discharges of her eyes. And that's the procedure that damaged her optic nerves and blinded her. Would you choose the loss of vision tonight? How about would you choose the loss of a limb from some freak accident? How about would you choose bodily pain, like every day? Would you choose the loss of sleep? My wife and I, we know of a brother who was a missionary for years in South America, and he got a root canal. And he got an infection in that root canal, and it went to a part of his brain that affects his sleep. And he literally gets 1.5 hours of sleep every 3 days. And in order to get that 1.5 hours of sleep, I'm not lying to you, he takes 12 sleep medications at a time. Doctor said, you're going to die. He goes, if I don't sleep, I'm going to die. And he's still serving the Lord. I can't understand that, but he's still doing it. But that's not an affliction that I would want to choose. How about you? Would you choose an accident that where you're permanently disfigured for life in your face? Would you choose the loss of speech? Would you choose the loss of hearing? Would you choose a neurological disease such as Lou Gehrig's or Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis? The new church I'm out of in Corning, New York, we have a man who's crumbling before my very eyes, a man that I've known for 12 years now, who's got Parkinson's disease. Would you choose to be confined to a wheelchair or a bed all your life? How many of you have ever heard of Amy Carmichael? Missionary who served in India, loved the Lord for 55 years, serving the Lord as a missionary. And in 1931, she was injured in a bad fall, which left her bedridden for the next 20 years until the time of her death. And that's where she wrote many good books, which have been a blessing to many Christians worldwide. Which sickness would you prefer tonight? What financial struggles would you choose? Would you choose foreclosure of your home, or would you choose a fire? Would you choose to lose a business and go in debt and never recover from it? Would you choose to have only 2 bags and live on the street? There are Christians that do live on the street. There are Christians that, unfortunately, some things have happened. Would you choose to have bill collectors call you and harass you with lawyers and fees all your life? Would you choose to live on welfare and government housing? Would you choose to live in a third world country? Would you choose to not have enough food in your cupboard to hear your kids say every night, I'm hungry, and there's nothing you can do? And there are people like that all over the world. Would you choose tonight to be stripped of a loved one suddenly? Let's say you had 3 children, which one would you choose? Let's say it was a tender child, a tender age. Here we know of Adoniram Judson, great missionary, right? Burma, great missionary. Oh man, he's a great man of God. Did you know that he lost his 2nd child at the age of 8 months old on the mission field? Did you know he also lost his 3rd child as well? Let me ask you this. Would you lose a spouse? Would you choose to lose a spouse? Let's say after 20 years of marriage. I thank God for my wife, folks. I mean, I'm blessed, amen. And I mean, we've been married almost 14 years this December 31st. We got married on New Year's Eve. Bringing the new year the right way, amen. But I couldn't imagine losing my spouse, but imagine being married to somebody 30, 40 years, man, and they're gone. Would you choose an unwanted divorce? I'm sick and tired of these Pharisees who say, well, if you got a divorce, it has to be all your fault. You know what? You can't make someone stay. And you can't make someone submit. You can't make someone love you. You can't make someone stay no matter what you do. You can pray and fast about it all day. If they want to leave you, they're going to leave you. I know Christians that they are forever barred from serving God because of some Pharisaical preacher. I got news for you. God's not done with you, amen. And you know, God can throw some things in your lap you don't want to happen, but you know what? Would you choose an unwanted divorce? Would you choose being thrown into a prison unjustly accused, like Joseph or Harlan Popoff? In the early mornings of July 23rd, Harlan Popoff was arrested on false charges of espionage against the state. After being brainwashed and tortured for 8 months in prison, he and some other ministers pleaded guilty under such duress. And Popoff was sentenced to 15 years in prison, and he spent the next 13 years and 2 months tortured in concentration camps. Would you choose a life of suffering and being slanderously evil spoken of, like John Bunyan? Remember Pilgrim's Progress? Everybody gets a blessing out of that. As his popularity grew, did you know Bunyan was increasingly a target for slander? Did you know he was described as a witch, a Jesuit, a highwayman, and was said to have mistresses and multiple wives? Oh, but his book is a blessing. It's been translated to 100 different languages. Yeah, but would you have liked to go through that? Would you choose the affliction that Richard Wurmbrand suffered? I know he may not have been doctrinally sound as us, but man, he spent 3 years in solitary confinement. The confinement was in a cell that was 12 feet underground with no lights and no windows. And there was no sound for when the guards were coming because they would wear felt on the soles of their shoes. And they would come in any time and just start beating him. And he said that one time he was beaten so bad on the soles of his feet that the flesh came off to the bone. And the next day they started again. Let me ask you this, would you choose a bad upbringing? Some of you were raised in dysfunctional homes. I was. I didn't want to choose that, but God allowed it to happen. Bad upbringing, dysfunctional home. How about being raised in an environment of drugs? So I've never been raised in an environment of drugs, and I think people like that are messed up. Hey, you better thank God you weren't. Because as we go on, it's going to become what the world calls normal, God says is abnormal. And it's not what we have gone so far, folks, from the Waltons and the Beavers to married with children and then the Ozzies and look at Desperate Housewives. All this stuff, we have gone so far in the wrong direction. What they call progress is actually a declension. Would you choose being raised in a bar at a young age? Would you choose having an alcoholic mother or an alcoholic father? Would you choose being sexually abused? I mean, if your choice was given to you. I would say, well, I wouldn't want that. How about physical abuse? Say, well, I wouldn't want that. How about emotional abuse? Where you're told you're worthless, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're no good, I hate you. All these other things like that. Drop dead and things like that. How would you like being in an environment like that? Married to a spouse like that or being under a parent like that? Would you choose being raised without a father? Would you choose being raised without a mother? Would you choose living in an orphanage? Would you choose living in a house where you were told that you were a mistake? Nikki Cruz, some of you heard about that, crossing the switchblade. Nikki Cruz grew up in one of the worst neighborhoods in Puerto Rico. And his mother called him the son of Satan. How would you like to have been raised like that? I'm just asking you tonight, folks. I'm not trying to be rude or mean or harsh. I'm just saying, what would you choose? And which affliction would you choose? Would you really want to choose it? And which affliction do you think would be easier to endure? What affliction do you think you'd be able to wholeheartedly embrace? I mean, would you be more content with another affliction than the one you already have? I mean, is there any affliction that's easy to live with? I mean, it wouldn't be an affliction. I mean, is there any affliction that's pleasant to experience at first? And I would dare to say that any one of us that have had an affliction, it's very difficult to face. Not just you got a hangnail, now you got a little headache, and you got a little problems and all that. I'm talking about what affliction do you think you would choose? Do you think it would be hard to endure? Do you know why it would be hard to endure? Because we all have our comfort zone. We all like our space. We all have a comfort zone that we want to live in. And to be honest with you, none of us like to be disturbed. And none of us like to be afflicted and have things come in our life that are not for the better, but for the worse. So once again, I'm asking, Knight, which affliction do you think you would choose if you were in David's position? Number two. Second thing I would say tonight is, not only is it difficult to choose, number two, I believe it'd be more devastating, the choice you would make, than the first. More devastating than the first. So how is that? You say, preacher, I don't think so. I do. You say, why? Because I think that there are others, would you agree with me, that there are others in this world that are going through it a lot worse than you. I know guys I pray for right now that are going through afflictions. I mean, I have pain, but these people have worse pain. I mean, pain, I think about guys that I pray for, preachers, and I think about preachers' wives, and I think about what they're going through, and all these other things that God allowed to happen in their lives. I mean, I've never had to bury a child, and I hope I never have to, but some of you have. I've never had to go through chemotherapy. I never had to bury a wife. I've not had to live on the streets, knee out of garbage cans. I mean, you got to think about this. I mean, would you want to live through that? Do you really want what someone else is going through? I mean, I've had people come up to me and go, I would never want to go through what you're going through. And I look at them and think, I wouldn't want to go through what you're going through. Say, why? Because I couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? To be honest, it could be a lot worse. And I got news for you. The Lord tonight has fitted a cross for your back. Did you know the Lord was a carpenter? And do you know the Lord is a great carpenter? And I bet you that every job he did, he never cut corners. I bet you he did expert work. Would you agree? And did you know that some people make things customized for you? And did you know the Lord customized your afflictions? I had a guy who's been in the ministry for over 40 years, and he says, you know, I had a really good life. He says, the Lord's blessed me. But he says, the older I get, I would think after a while it would be easier. He says, and I faced more afflictions in the latter part of my life than I ever have before. You know, God has built a cross for you. And God has customized it for you. I can't carry your cross, and you can't carry mine. And I know that it's easier to memorize, but it is the fact of the matter. We are to take up our cross, not your cross, my cross. I'm not to lay my cross upon anyone's back. I'm to carry it myself daily. And your affliction tonight, to be honest with you, I don't want. And mine is too much for you to bear. So I believe that if we were to make that decision, it'd be more devastating than the one we're already facing right now. And I got news for you. There are some afflictions God will never take away in your life. And I don't care how much Bible you read, and I'm not making light of that. I don't care how much you pray, and I don't care how much you fast, and I don't care how much you cry, and what kind of counsel you get. God will let that affliction follow you to the grave. Number three, and I'm done. Third thing I want to say tonight, and I'm done. Third thing I think would happen if you had a choice to make, not only be devastating, not only be difficult, but number three, it would defeat its purpose for your life. It would defeat its purpose for your life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can't stand when people quote Bible verses to me that never have gone through what I've gone through. I already know what Romans 8:28 says, but please, in a nice way, get out of my face. Because we know that all things work together for good. Is that true? To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, Romans 8:28 is true for every race, every gender, and every sex. We know all those things, age. But let me just say this to you. Is it easy to live? Romans 8:28 you could probably memorize in a couple hours. But is it easy to live? God has a purpose for your affliction. And if it's the Lord's will for you to bear pain daily, let's say it was. Let's say it is God's will for you to bear pain daily. Every day. How many of you have ever heard of George Frederick Handel? How many of you ever heard of him? All right. Did you know that he was a great musician? And did you know he lost his health? Did you know his right side was paralyzed and all his money was gone from him? And his creditors came after him and tried to get him thrown in debtor's prison? And did you know he was so disheartened and it was such a tragedy in his life that he experienced so much despair for a brief time? And during that time, his faith prevailed. And he wrote one of his greatest works, the Hallelujah Chorus. Let me say this to you. What would have happened if he'd not gone through that? You say, what are you getting at? Handel's failing health did not stop him from glorifying the Lord through his affliction. Let's say it's the Lord's will for you to live in poverty. Let's say it's the Lord's will for you to struggle financially all your life. You say, well, I don't believe it's God's will for anyone to be poor. Well, the Lord said, the poor you have always with you. And everybody can be rich. What would you do? If it's the Lord's will for you to lose a loved one, do you think it's for a purpose? You know, I learned that God knows what's best for you even if you don't. And God can choose your affliction better than you can. Look, I know this is not easy preaching. And this may not really rouse you up and work you up into a frenzy, but this is a fact of the matter, folks. You're going to face an affliction sooner or later. I don't care if you're 17 years old or 70 years old. You're going to have an affliction one day come in your life. You're not going to want to face. You're not going to want to endure. And it's messages like this, when you read through the passage of this scripture about David, you're going to go, I remember that message that preacher preached. There's messages I didn't think I needed at the time. But little did I know what was going to happen in the future. I'll tell you right now, David knew that God could choose better. David knew that God could do a better job. And David knew that God would bring him through. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 14. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in a serious strait. I'm in a mess here. I don't know what to do. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. God is merciful, folks, in afflictions. And the worst affliction you could ever go through in life is nothing compared to an eternity in hell. God's given us less than our iniquities deserve. And it would be good for all of us, like David did, to learn that fact. It is good to fall into the hands of the Lord. I know for the lost, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but for us who are saved, we're in his hand, and no man is able to pluck us out of his hand. Spurgeon said this, the Lord's mercy often rides to the door of our heart upon the black horse of affliction. It's truly better to fall into the hand of the Lord, folks, than to choose our own afflictions. Spurgeon said this, when the Lord chooses the cup and holds it to us, we drink it down in peace. We feel no responsibility about it, but we enjoy a solid confidence that he who appointed the sorrow will cause it to work for our good. There was a Roman method years ago of threshing grain. And one man would stir up the sheaves while another man rides over in a crude cart equipped with rollers instead of wheels. Sharp stones or bits were used that were attached to the cylinders to help separate the husk from the grain. And they would actually call this cart a tribulum, which is where we get our word tribulation. And when afflictions come to us, folks, we may think of ourselves as being torn in pieces under the cruel pressures of adverse circumstances. Yet the purpose of the tribulum is not to tear up the sheaves, but to expose the grain. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. How many of you want to be fruitful? How many of you really want to live a fruitful Christian life? How many of you really want to live one? All right, you ready to be crushed? Are you ready? I mean, are you ready to face what God has in store for you? We are never put under the pressures of a trial needlessly. When you think about your afflictions tonight, it's only temporary. You don't know what I'm going through. Man, it's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. Preacher, it's been going so long, for so long. How can I handle it? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. A moment? Isn't it funny? God thinks one day is that. I mean, we think 1,000 years in his eyes is one day. And he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Matthew Henry said this, the tried Christian shall be a crowned one. See, many of you want to reign with Christ, but have you forgotten what the prerequisite to reigning with Christ is? Suffering. Suffering. No cross, no crown. No suffering, no future glory. See, I don't want to go through that. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to ask you, will you accept whatever God has for you? Will you embrace your new affliction? Say, why did my husband cheat on me? I don't know. But God allowed it to happen, did he not? Why did God allow my wife to leave me? Why does my wife not want to serve God? God allowed it. Why do my kids not serve God? Why do my kids not love Jesus Christ? I don't know, but he allows it. The thing I learned about God is he doesn't force anything, amen? You can't force people to do right. But you have to make sure you're doing right. Your walk with the Lord is a personal thing. I can't make you spiritual. I can preach to you on blue in the face. I can tell you what you got to do. But it's up to you whether or not you're going to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you tonight, will you learn to lean on the Lord through it all? Here you are tonight, wringing your hands. I don't know what I'm going to do. Going to the preacher. Will you counsel me every week about the same issue? You know, there's things in my life I just finally, after years, I didn't beseech the Lord 3 times like Paul did. Paul was way more spiritual than me. I besought the Lord 300 times to take away something. And after a while, you know what I did? I said, that's enough. I'm done. I surrender. You know, many of us sing that song, you know what? I surrender all, right? Do you really believe that? Is that just a song where, oh, I can harmonize with a group of people and it sounds really, really good a cappella style? Or is it really real? I surrender my wallet. I surrender my will. I surrender my wife. I surrender everything for God's disposal as he sees fit. You know, I was a new Christian. And you're going to laugh, some of you, and that's fine. But I was dumb enough to believe that God knew what he was doing. And I was a new Christian. And I was only saved about 6 months. And I said, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you want me to go through, I want to know this book and know you. And God took me up on the offer. It's worth it. I have no regrets, people, serving God. I have regrets doing what I want to do. And I have no bitterness towards God. No hard feelings. And I did in the past. But I can tell you, like the Bible says about Jesus Christ, he had done all things well. I'm going to ask you tonight, will you learn to glorify the Lord through your affliction? Instead of griping and complaining and murmuring and making everyone around you miserable and just always whining, complaining, and griping about how unfair life is, why don't you just say, you know what, Lord, it does stink. I don't like it. But for once, I'm going to have a good attitude. And for once, I'm going to glorify you through it all. Because someone's watching you right now, whether you realize or not. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Someone's watching how you handle something. And through it all, if you handle it right, God will get the glory. So I'm going to close with this and I'm done. What would you choose? If you had a choice of affliction tonight, what would you choose? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? I just want you to think about tonight. I know it's a very serious message. It's not one of these messages that make you feel good, but it's sobering and it's scary to some of you. But I believe the Lord had me preach this tonight to be a help. I'm trying to be a help to you people. You know what I mean? I really want to help God's people. I know I'm not the greatest speaker. And I know I'm not the most dynamic. And some people laugh and some people are distracted and some people don't care. But you know what? That's a heart issue. That's not me. That's a heart issue. And you know what, folks? I'm trying to be a help to you. And you know what I've learned a long time ago? God will speak to you if you're willing to listen. Are you willing to listen? I want to listen to God. How about you? You love Jesus tonight. I mean, you really love him. You know, the choice was yours. It'd be difficult to make. It'd be difficult to make. If you had a choice, I think it'd be more devastating than the one you're already facing. If you could choose your affliction tonight, then it would defeat its purpose for your life. I'm going to ask you tonight, what affliction would you choose? Right now, what affliction? Let's say God gave you the option tonight. What affliction would you choose over the one you're facing already? You know what you all have to do tonight, folks? Leave everything in the Lord's hands. Because the Lord really does know what's best. Tonight, I'm not going to drag it on, folks. I'm not one of these evangelists to come in and keep working on your emotions and your feelings and dragging you to the altar. But maybe tonight God has spoke to you. Maybe you're a woman tonight or a man. Maybe God has spoken to you tonight. Would you come? If you would come tonight, look, I'm not trying to drag it on. It's still early. It's about 7:45. I only preach usually about 30 minutes. But let me just ask you tonight, if God has spoke to you tonight, maybe you know someone tonight, maybe it's not you, Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Would you pray for them tonight? If God has spoke to you tonight, there's an altar. You can come and say, Lord, or maybe tonight you just need to surrender. Maybe tonight you're saved and you're just fighting God. Maybe tonight you say, Lord, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. Maybe tonight you just need to say, Lord, I'm willing to face whatever you want me to face. And maybe you just need to pray tonight for God to give you the grace ahead of time. If God has spoke to you, as the piano plays, please, folks, it's not me you're responding to. I'm nothing. It's to God's Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to have an open heart, open mind, and open ears to the Word of God. If God has spoke to you, would you come? And tonight I want to say this, and I'm done. Like I said, I'm not going to drag it on. Anybody tonight here lost? Is there anybody tonight here that's not 100% sure that if they die today, they would go to heaven? Anybody at all? If you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure you've been born again by the Spirit of God and washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and that you're a child of God, would you raise your hand? Anybody tonight, I'll pray for you, honestly. I don't care if you're 7 years old or you're 70 years old. Maybe tonight you've never been saved. Let me ask you tonight, would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? I'm not going to point you out. I promise you, I'm not going to grab you by the arm and drag you down here just so I can pray for you. I hope tonight that God spoke to you. How many tonight would be honest and say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart, and would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand, anybody tonight? Say, God spoke to me. I see your hand. 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 Anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Preacher, pray for me. Would you pray for me? I will pray for you now. I see your hand. See your hand. Hands all over the building. I praise the Lord for that. I'm going to pray for you tonight. I'm going to be at this altar and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help you and give you the grace to get through what you're facing. Amen.